Betty said I got her up at midnight this morning, but it wasn't so. I looked at the world clock. It said it's 6 o'clock. And that was my intention, get up at 6 o'clock. And that's what we did. And then she said something else this morning. Said that she was talking about another thing, said she was getting, she guessed, old and contrary. I said, amen. Sixteenth chapter of the book of Ezekiel this morning for a beginning. The way I do it, I just don't pay any attention to her.
Is that marital advice?
Yeah. I say I didn't understand. I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear, yeah.
16th chapter, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, he won't be sure he gets it in the right place in Jerusalem. Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother was a Hittite. And as thy nativity in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. I got thinking this week, I've come to this passage quite a few times over the years and thought about it, but I got thinking again this week about how the devil is so hard at work. I guess because he knows the time is short. That's what Scripture said. Knows the time is short. And then I'm watching the news. They come on there over and over and over. The devil's advertising. I'm going to tell you how God loves everybody. And make me want to do something. They tell them that if you say this little prayer, well, God, I'm sorry, and I just want to follow you from now on, you don't have no idea what they're fixing to follow. And then they say, if you get that done, then call this number and we'll give you some reassurance on that. And we will send you a beginner's Bible. Now, I have a little trouble with that. I don't know what a beginner's Bible is. But when I look about us today, our church, I'm talking about church in general, that we talk about, is about like what I just read. It's dead. It's dirty. It's abominable. It needs washing and swaddling and done something to it that it might come back to the gospel. Mr. Graham, I understand I read somewhere yesterday He's off somewhere in a big meeting. They said it was a God Loves You meeting. So it just reinforces what I'm talking about, this man. Without being reconciled to God, and He's going to love you? Not so. So it needs a whole lot of washing and cleaning up. And it made me think also of even the high priest. Before he is to go in unto the most holy place, before the veil, he had washed. Not just a little bit. There was this great big urn there that he had plenty of washing. Water was made available to clean him up. And then he put on this linen clothes to even go in to the most holy place. And they have the audacity to say that we can go in at any time. God loves everybody, brings him down to their level, is what it does. Without being clean, you think that you're going to go in before a holy God unclean? There's going to be a day when no unclean thing will come into Jerusalem. It's going to be cleaned up. So, what's the answer? In the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, this is a real true washing here now. I looked for that old song in the book, but I don't believe we got it. Are you washed in the blood? The soul cleansing blood? Said, who hath believed our report? Brother, good to see you. You were sick last Sunday, wasn't you? Who hath believed our report? And we wonder about that quite often. Who is believing it? Who hath believed our report? And in whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, we talked a good bit about chastisement a week or two, hadn't we? For the iniquity, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And then he does this, all we like sheep have gone astray. Doesn't leave any out. Everyone has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. We kind of grumbled under chastisement, our little bit of chastisement that the Lord places upon us for our own well-being. And then we look at the Lord and He's put all of it upon Him. Our guilt was placed upon Him. He said, and He opened not His mouth. No complaint. He was made to suffer for our sin. Yeah, our little light afflictions, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Really. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves to even think that we ought not be chastised as we sometimes are. But we still got that human nature with us, and we do it all the time. In the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, yeah, our church is, they need a good washing and cleaning up so that they be able to preach the gospel. This God loves you thing, He loves His people, and He loves His church. That's the main thing. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. We'll look at that again in a minute. Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. In verse 18. Said, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll bring again a captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon a heap, upon her own heap, and the place shall remain after the manner thereof. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be foreordained as their congregation aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. So this is gives us a little heart, doesn't it? The old devil can work hard as he wants to, but he's not going to win. Lord, it's going to build His church. And it's all about His church. I was thinking about that also, all of this Billy Graham evangelism, most of them, they're getting them, they call saved, and then no church. No church. If man gets saved, he needs to be told he needs to go to church. He may know it already, but he needs to be told that also. Do you love the brethren? That's the whole question. You need to be united to the Lord's church. This evil believism gospel that's going around is, it's sending more folks to hell than any other one thing in this world, I think. Man ever gets hold of that, you can't get it out of him, hardly. You can't, unless the Lord had cut him to the heart. to the quick in the heart, you can't get him out of it because he's going to rest. He'll find some rest. He'll rest in that. But the Lord's going to build his church. We don't need to doubt about that. In first 31st chapter, then on down in verse 1, he said, "And at the same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel." Now, this is the church he's talking about here also. It's one come out of the wilderness. That's another thing they're teaching too, that the church didn't start on the day of Pentecost. It always has been. It was before the foundation of the world. That was the church. The Lord has provided for his children in the church. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. You know, the law was given, and sometimes we give law a bad name ourselves. The grace that was in the law was abundant. It was given that we might know our sin. Go tell Israel what their abominations are. You've been out messing with the wrong group, off-whoring and worshiping at their altar. What they call worshiping, it's kind of like, though what they do, they're just too superstitious. They like the group that the Apostle Paul come up on at Mars Hill. Had a monument erected to every god and one to the unknown god. And they were too superstitious. And that's what I think has happened for the most part to the churches today, is they are too superstitious. They're looking at everything but the Lord. Building more and more altars. But the Lord's going to tear them down, take them away. Verse 4 of that 31st verse, and it said, "And again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dresses of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines," going to plant a vineyard, "bring forth good grapes." And the Lord's going to cause him to rest. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, and saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Now that's the way man comes to the Lord. "And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself." If the Lord's not doing the drawing, leave it alone. Don't go organize nothing out of that. That it's not drawn of the Lord. And the drawing of the Lord is through repentance. If he doesn't cut the man to the quick in the heart, he won't ever turn and come. But it must be the drawing of the Lord that brings him. If that happens, you've got a true believer that'll show love one to another, be united with the church, be part of the church. Everybody wants to think kind of lightly of the church anymore, but I can see why, because it's just anymore, it's just a place to play. You say, we build another building so we can entertain your children. And my Bible said, bring the old and the young and the lame and the blind and come to church. Let's be churched. We need to be churched. We need to be washed. It ought to always be a washing in the church, a cleaning up, so we can go into the most holy place. You can't enter in with your nakedness and filthiness. It's an abomination to the Lord to even think that you could. Don't say, I'll go into heaven and bring God down, or I'll go down below and bring him up. Don't say that. You better not think it either. It's the Lord that's going to do the drawing through the preaching of the gospel. That's the power. That's the power. Come to the church through the drawing. In the book of Colossians, the first chapter, I don't know where to begin here. I guess verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. There you go. That's the way you're going to get it. Inherited in our day of the saints in high, in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through the washing of the blood. Dip your finger in the blood and sprinkle it upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon all the vessels, and sprinkled it upon all the people. After you have gotten clean and go in to the most holy place, enter in. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He has become a propitiation for his people. He has paid their sin debt. Said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created of him and for him. Included in that was that church created in him. I keep saying, if man not resurrected in this life, it's not going to be in another resurrection for him in that respect. They'd be resurrected unto righteousness and holiness And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that are all things he might have the preeminence. Might have the preeminence. And that's what happened to Israel. See, they got thinking they were so beautiful, they were taking the preeminence away from the Lord. And that's what they're doing today. Same thing. They must have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father in that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you, talking about you and I, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. What is reconciled? To come to where you can say God is good. Otherwise, be running off. Be looking for some other thing. Be building another altar or another place to worship. But if you be reconciled, drawn to the Lord and to His church, that you might find true worship. But it's all in the Lord. Must be changed, mustn't we, from our old nature to a new one. Otherwise, we wouldn't enjoy being with the Lord. What is natural runs away. What is supernatural that's of the Lord comes to the Lord, to His body. Do you love the brethren? Do you show love one to another? Well, it's all tied together. For the Lord first loved us, and He draws. Then He don't just leave us out in the cold. Brings us in and gives us a union. A place we might go and truly worship. Bow before Him. It's a mystery, isn't it? To most people. A mystery. Say, come here, I'll show you a mystery. This is a church that the Lord built out of all the people. Not this old dead Jerusalem. That's what we just read a while ago. They were dead. They got to relying upon their own beauty. Went down into Egypt. Went over to Syrians and begged for help over there. Separate yourselves unto the Lord. In the book of Colossians, in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I don't know where I want to begin here. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. And this is a verse I really love here. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Going to wash it. How's he going to do that? With the washing of the water by the word. Wash it and clean it up. That's why he gave it to us. That's why we have a church. Why do you come to church? Get clean. The preaching of the gospel is a cleansing of the soul. Removes all guilt. If your conscience is clear, then you have liberty to worship. But it must be with clear conscience. What's going to clear it? The washing of word. We'll clear it up. It'll make it plenty clear. If it isn't clear, you don't want it to be clear. They say, I just can't understand all this theirs and I's and thy and they and all that stuff. I can't understand all that. Because they don't want to. Got to have the want to fix before they understand it. Yeah, I don't want to. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, without spot and without blemish, without wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. No blemish. Go tell Israel what their problem is. They've left off worship of the Lord. I think Paul and I might have been talking last night, maybe, about Israel was the most astute people that ever has been in reading the law. They knew it backwards and forwards, every jot and every tittle. But it didn't cut them. It didn't. They were looking at their own beauty. Now, I look about us today and I drive down the road and this. Do you ever figure how many church buildings there is? On every corner. Big, massive, nice, beautiful edifices. I say they got plenty of stained glass. You walk in there, boy, it looks so pretty. Get, you know, and got some soft music going, and it set the mood, set the tone. Don't anybody sneeze and mess up the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. You ever think you could mess up the Holy Spirit? Same way with the gospel. They can't mess the word up. I've said that over and over for years. You can't mess the word of God up. You may misuse it, but you can't, if you just read it, it's black and white. It's very easy to read if you want to. If you want to. If you be resurrected from the dead, you want to read it because it's life. It's washing. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times and get clean. Oh, man, would we want to go over that old filthy Jordan and wash in it? Yeah. Do it 7 times and be clean. Must be clean. Can't enter into the presence of God all filthy, old filthy rags. Won't necessarily need a tie on, but you need to be clean. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Make you holy. Make you able to enter in to the most holy place in the very presence of God. What a blessing that we can enter in. Do you understand the veil is still there on the face of most people? The veil's still there. But what a blessing for that one that would be washed with the blood of the Lamb. 16th chapter of Leviticus, we won't go there, of Leviticus. You can read that. Make you clean. The priests go in and take your sins and offer it up. Another thing, Lord always provided His own sacrifice. He wasn't relied upon no man. He provided the perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ came and He kept the law. I'm not talking about just the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. He kept it. That He might sanctify His people and bring them all together in one body, unified, ready to worship. What a privilege. What a privilege to just come worship. How can you worship? In truth and in spirit. Days coming when they're not going to worship over there. They're just going to worship in the spirit. But the spirit will bring them together and unite them. It's one spirit, one God, one Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All united in one to bring into one body all of His people. Do you have love one to another? Well, there's a question again this morning. Judge yourselves that you be not judged. The judgment of the Lord is harsh. If you don't believe it, just look what He placed upon Jesus Christ. Our chastisements was upon Him. They might deliver us What did he come to save us from our sin? Most folks don't want that. They kind of like where they're at. But you must be washed to enter in to the most holy place. God will not allow you in any other way to get through the veil, all the way up to the throne of mercy, to the mercy seat. It's always been one of my favorite spots also, is at the mercy seat. You get to the mercy seat, you understand what it is. There's a box there. That's all it was a box with a lid. But in that box was placed the covenant. That's what it was, Ark of the Covenant. The covenant was placed in there, and the penalty that was in the covenant was sealed with a gold mercy seat. And it doesn't have any more power over his death, doesn't have any more power over his people, because it is sealed up in the Ark of the Covenant by a pure slab of gold. Pure gold. Refined and sealed up. You know what the mercy seat really was? It really wasn't that block of gold. It was Jesus Christ Himself. That's the mercy seat. If you're going to come, you must come through Him. Be careful what's drawing you. Judge yourselves again. Be careful. Make sure you're in the right pew. The Lord came to save His people and to unify them into one body, that they might worship Him.